Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans, chapter 14. I'd like to share the message that God laid upon my heart for today, and it's found in Romans, chapter 14. Verse 19 will be our text. Let's read that verse. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. With Mother's Day upon us, it might behoove me to speak about mothers and how they should be treated. However, that being said, I think we know how moms ought to be treated. And not just moms, but our wives and our sisters, our daughters, and even women in general. Therefore, I'd like to take this opportunity to expand such a thought to include all men. Talking about all men everywhere. And my message is directed to the individual, but indeed it is universally applicable. This being, however, Mother's Day, fathers, I would like for you to consider how you treat the mother of your children. And if you say, well, I don't have a wife, then how do you treat your wife? And or I don't have a children, rather. Let me start over on that. Let me reread this. If you say, I don't have any children, that makes a difference. Then how do you treat your wife? That's what I meant to say. Forgive me. And if you say, I don't have a wife, that's why I skipped the line, or that I'm of the feminine gender, then how do you treat others about you? That's really the idea. And our text speaks of edifying one another. But some people, you know what? They spend much of their time tearing down others. May that not be said of us. Let us each understand that it is in our best interest to build up one another. And so I want to look into Romans chapter 14, verse 19. This is our text. I want to speak to you today about what I have entitled, Build Up One Another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house and those who are able to be with us. We pray for those who could not be here due to sickness, providential hindrance, that you'd bless each one. And Father, we just commit this time to you today and give us attentive hearts and hearing ears and Lord, just listening souls that we might hear your word, that Lord, we would learn from it, grow, that we as your people might be the kind of people you'd have us to be, that not only would we be found faithful, but we'd also be interested in building each other up. And so we ask that you would direct our lives today as we study. We ask for those that are lost that you might convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, and Lord, that today they might be saved. And we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think today from verse 19 about build up one another. And I would like to give you the context of where this verse rests. Now, when you think about this, and you can glance back and skim through the chapter, we'll be looking at a few of the verses, but this entire chapter deals with Christians and their treatment of other Christians who don't quite see things eye to eye. Now, obviously, people disagree on some matters of practice. It happens. Look in verse 2, there's a reference. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And so there's a difference of practice. Verse 5, one man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So Christians have different viewpoints sometimes on dietary practices, on observance of days or not observance of days. There's just a difference of opinion and viewpoint. And what we find as Paul comes through this chapter is that he cautions us about judging other believers. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, as Christians differ in their perspective and differ in their practices, there's a tendency for us to become critical, to become harsh and mean and cruel, hateful in our speech and our treatment of other people because they just don't do it the way we do it. And Paul says, you need to be careful about that kind of judgment. And as we noticed in the last part of verse 10, he even noted the idea of, hey, we are going to be judged. And so believers are not going to escape the judgment of God. And so in verse 10 through verse 12, you see that. And so we are going to be stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of our own selves, not of somebody else, but of our own selves before God. Therefore, our main concern should be that we don't cause someone else to stumble. That's the key. So verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Is what I do, is that what, how I observe the practices which I keep, will that cause someone else to stumble in their service to Jesus Christ? I need to be concerned about that. Why? Not only for their sake, but for mine, because I will stand before God and give an account. So what we find from verse 14 down through verse 23, which is the end of the chapter, he speaks of how we should live and practice our faith. And within this admonition is our text. And our text is an exhortation pertaining to the goal of our behavior. And what is that goal? It is the edification of others. Now, some people are so strict and so narrow, all they do is spend their time just beating people to death. Because they just don't see it exactly the way they see, and they don't practice the way they practice, and they spend all their time criticizing, condemning. Well, you have to be very, very careful about that. Now, what we do find in the passage is verse 19, and we're concerning ourselves with this text. He says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Now, what we find as we come to this text is that Paul advocates peace despite the differences. We're going to differ in some things. But does that mean we have to be fighting each other? Does that mean we have to be clawing each other's eyes out and being hateful? Do we need to be doing that? He says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. There are differences. The context tells us that there are differences. But he says we ought to strive for peace. Now that word peace means exactly that. It's peace. It's tranquility. We know what that word means. And so what he tells us in our text is that we need to follow after the things which make for peace. Involve yourself in things which lead to peace. And so we don't have a lot of time to elaborate upon that aspect, but really I just see it from a perspective, and it doesn't matter whether it's the home, it doesn't matter whether it's the church or at work or in the community. You know what? Don't major on the minors. It might be a difference and a perspective, but is it really that important to fight over? Don't major on the minors. Don't be nitpicky. And don't nag or drone on and on and on. And especially in the home, you know, some things, you know, husband and wife will do things different. I remember when we were first married, you know, we did, I've conformed a lot to my wife. No, I'm kidding. There are things that I changed for her benefit, but I found out very quick, and she found out very quick, that things are done differently. And one such instance, I love this story, is the matter when we first got married. My wife was going to make me bring me a hard-boiled egg for lunch. And so I said, okay, yeah, I'd love to have some hard-boiled eggs for lunch. So she came, brought me lunch, and she did that all the time. She's so lovely. And She'd bring me lunch, and she'd bring hard-boiled eggs. The first time she brought that first hard-boiled egg, it was hot. I said, why is this hot? And she said, well, I just got them out of the pan. I peeled them, wrapped them up so you can have a hot, hard-boiled egg. And I said, who in the world eats hot, hard-boiled eggs? And she said, my dad. I found out, you know, well, there's different ways to eat hard-boiled eggs. And you know what? I like the hot, hard-boiled eggs than I do the cold. I like them better. So I don't know what it is, but it's different. Did we have to fight over that? Well, there was a little argument at first, especially when she said, my dad. Well, I knew that was too far, wasn't it? Well, does it really matter? We could have argued about that. She asked me to turn my socks inside out. You know, boys, I mean, they just sit down, pull your socks off, they turn inside out. Well, you don't want to wash them that way, so you want to turn them in. She didn't want to touch my nasty socks. Well, I don't blame her. So I changed. Did I have to fight over that? No. But you know, in a home, you can fight over stuff like that if you want. At work, you can fight over stuff. In churches, you can fight over stuff like that if you want. But Paul says we ought to strive for things that make for peace, despite the differences. Now, you also find the consideration which is being expressed here is that we need to consider others more than ourselves. And we learn that from the context. If he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another, it's not about me. It's about someone else. And I'll tell you, husband, if you want to have a happy wife, you need to make it about her and not about you. Wives, you want a happy husband, you need to make it about him and not about you. And so do the other person. Put them before yourself, and you'll see that it makes a big difference. And that's true not just in the home, but it's true in the community, it's true in the church, and it's true at work. And so consider others more than yourself. And then what we find, and I'll dip into verse 20 for this, we ought to strive not to be a stumbling block. We don't want to cause somebody else to stumble. As he mentions the matter of their dietary practices, he says, for meat destroy not the work of God. Don't have a split over who eats what on what time. And he says, all things are indeed pure. He says, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. And if you know it's going to be offensive, you know it's going to cause somebody to stumble. So even though you know you can eat meats offered to idols, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you do so, you cause that weak Christian to believe that there's something special about the idol, then you've got a problem going on and you cause them to stumble. And so if you want to resolve things that make for peace and you want to consider others above yourself and you don't want to cause other people to stumble. The word offense there in verse 20 means a stumbling. It comes from a main root word, means to strike the foot against. And when do you stumble? You get up at night, you go through your house, and you forget that that's out there, and you kick your foot against it, and you stumble. That's the idea behind the word. We don't want to cause other people to stumble. Don't put roadblocks in their way. Don't put things out there that they can trip over and cause them to stumble. So the word is a stumbling block. What do we need to do? Well, we find it in the latter part of the text. We want to make for things which make for peace. And then he says, and things wherewith one may edify another. In other words, let's desire to be constructive. The word edify means properly the act of building. The word may be applied to a building or a structure. In fact, if you think about it, we call that an edifice. Can you think of the word edifice and see the word edify at the beginning of that? An edifice is a building. Well, when it comes to the matter of religion, well, we would think of it as the idea of advancement or edification. The main root of this word in the Greek actually means builder or an architect. And so you get the idea. He says, you want to edify another. You want to build them up. Good English words. And so I give the title of the message, build up one another. I could have used the word edify. But we want to build up. We want to desire to be constructive. Now, if you're going to be an architect and you're going to build a building, and so you're in construction and you want to put this building together and you want that thing to go up and you want it to be built properly and you want it to be strong and you want it to last, you're going to have to use material suitable for the building. I mean, if you're building a skyscraper downtown, you're not going to go out and get a bunch of dried widths, you know, dried plants and weave them together and slap some mud on it and say, here, I'm going to make a 10-story building out of this. You're going to have to use the right material. Now, if you're going to do things that make for peace and you want to build up one another, you have to use the right material, don't you? And you're going to have to use the equipment which builds. You're going to use things, a hammer and drills and all kinds of equipment to build up, right? If you're going to build up, normally you don't bring in a wrecking ball. Unless you have a building that's bad that you need to get out of the way, then you tear it down and then you build in its place. But you know what? There's a tendency for us to go around with wrecking balls. And instead of building up people, all we're doing is slamming that great big cement ball at people. We're not interested in building up. We're trying to tear people down. Some people make a habit out of that. We don't want to. He tells us to build up, to edify one another. And so we want to do those things which are helpful, those things which strengthen one another. We want to extend encouragement to each other. You know, as a parent, you know, how I treat my children and how we treat our children makes a difference. If you call a child stupid long enough, you know what? They're going to think they're stupid. If you tell your child they can't do that long enough, they're going to believe they can't do it. You need to encourage. You need to build up. You need to strengthen. I know you have to discipline. I know you have to teach. You have to train. That's part of it. But you have to give encouragement. And you know what? Kids will fail. Adults fail. And so they do the best they can, but they come up short. Hey, that might not be the time to go kick them in the teeth. That might be the time to build them up and encourage them and say, you know what? You did the best you could. Let me encourage you. Don't give up. Keep right on going. Sometimes you need discipline. Sometimes you need correction and that kind of thing. But you have to realize that all that should be to encourage, to build up, to make them better, to make them stronger, to make them more mature. So you give responsibility to children so that they might learn, might grow, might develop. That's what we want to do. We want to build up one another. Do we spend our time criticizing, condemning our spouse? Are we always tearing down, never good enough at this, making hard-boiled eggs? And you don't clean laundry the way we do. You don't cook the way I do. You don't do this the way. Is that all you do, spend your time tearing down your spouse? Tearing down your children, children tearing down their parents, criticizing, condemning? That's one of the things about modern television. The way they convey the family home on the television is the kids are always disrespectful to the parents, criticizing, condemning, and hurtful, and just blasphemous to parents, just dishonoring. You better be very careful what you expose your children to, because they learn that from what they watch. But we ought to be encouraging, building up, same in the church, same in the community, same in the workplace. And, you know, if we're going to, it says in the latter part of that verse, edify one another, if that's a matter of building up. You know, it takes an act of participation. You want to build up. What are you doing as an investment into your spouse to build them up? What are you doing as an investment into your children to build them up? What are you investing in your fellow church members to help build them up, to encourage them, to strengthen them? You get the idea, don't you? And so we see the matter of build up one another. He says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. Now let me give you some ways that we might edify. Ways we might edify. Now, in order to do this, what I've chosen to do is I'm just going to list you very quickly some areas of which are impacted if we're going to edify. What about our speech? Generally, and this is really one of the greatest ways that we treat people is our speech. So how do we talk to them? The second is our treatment of others. How am I going to build you up? I'm going to do it through my speech, or I'm going to do it how I treat you. And then what about our attitude toward others? That's an area which is impacted by if we're going to build up or we're going to tear down. What about our representation of others? And by that I mean this, how we represent him or her. So you're married, and you get alone with your buddies, and what do? Do you run down your wife the whole time? Backbite? Criticize? Condemn? Or are you speaking well of? Do you defend? Do you protect? When you're alone and you talk about somebody else, how do you represent that individual? Are you building up or tearing down? You see, how we represent somebody affects them. And so that's part of it. And then finally, I just submit unto you, and there are others, of course, but I've only listed five. The fifth thing is our prayers for others. You know, we can build up each other by praying one for another. Now, let me give you some scriptural admonition. Now, I have a number of references listed on the outline in the bulletin. I'm not going to ask you to turn to those. We're going to be here for a long time if we did that. I want to build you up. I don't want to tear you down. I don't want you to get all worn out from the message. I want you to hear. I want you to glean. I want you to grow. So let me give you these verses, and it's in those same areas. I have a number of verses that deal with our speech. I think we can glean from that. We're most acclimated with our speech. How do I speak to my wife? How does she speak to me? How do I speak to my children? How do they speak to me? How do we speak to co-workers and fellow church members and so on? You get the idea. So let me give you a scriptural admonition. First of all, I want to remind you of 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul stated in that place as well, edify one another. So I'm just not picking something out of the scripture and running with it and saying, oh, well, I'm just making this up. We ought to edify one another. We ought to build up one another. It ought to be my interest to make you stronger, to build you up. It ought to be your interest to make me stronger and build me up, and for others as well. So let's listen to some of these verses. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, we're all sometimes we all have kind of edgy dispositions. Something happened the other day, and it really knocked me off. I was really aggravated, and two or three hours after that, I was dealing with Laura and Chad, and Laura just says, "Man, you're harsh." And I said, "You are right. I am." And it was true. I was off kilter. It was just a bad disposition. And to be truthful, I almost ran over a little girl, scared me to death. And I was still thinking about that. So just a harsh, just aggravated. Well, you know what? A soft answer turns away wrath. Husband comes in from work. Might have had a really rough day. Now, that doesn't give an excuse, but sometimes we don't respond the way we ought to respond. We say something. You have two ways of dealing with that. You can either respond in a soft, gentle way, or you can fight back. Oh, yeah? Puff it out, get the fight going. Let's go. Well, you know what? You have to be very careful about that. Soft answer turns away wrath. How are we going to build them up or going to destroy them with it? As we talk to people, the tone, the voice, the volume, every part of that. How are we going to respond to that? Well, soft answer turns away wrath. Let me give you these. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Listen, Proverbs 16:8. A froward man soweth strife, a whisper separateth chief friends. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. You know what all those verses, those three verses talk about? A gossip. Talebearer, somebody just keeps on repeating. You know, if I find out something about my wife, I don't need to go tell you about it. If I find something about you, I don't need to tell her about it. You know, there are things I've heard, things I've known, things that came across to my understanding and knowledge about individuals and their activities and events that I don't tell anybody simply because it goes through my mind, what good does it do if I tell them? What does that information avail them? If I tell my wife something, what does that help? Or will it hurt? Will that color her perception of another individual? And so there are things that I know that I've never told her because she just simply doesn't even know it because it's not constructive. It's destructive. So why tell it? And so be careful about what you're talking about and who you talk to and how you represent. A talebearer is going to separate even the friends. Again, about the speech, James 3:8. The tongue can no man tame, but is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And how true that is. We want to build people up. We want to encourage. We want to strengthen. I know sometimes a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I understand that. But generally, when we're criticizing and condemning, it's not that at all. We're just attacking. And that doesn't build anybody up. That's just destructive. You ever see these guys get on TV? I think of some of these athletes, they win a championship or whatever. And they say, well, praise God, hallelujah, we won this. I give God all the glory. And the next breath, they're cussing and all that kind of thing. Out of the same mouth, and within almost the same sentence, they're saying two different things completely. We want to build up. We want to be constructive. James chapter 4, verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Be careful about taking it upon yourself to become a judge. We want to build up. We want to edify. Do those things which make for peace. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. May our speech have grace. Grace. Now I'll tell you about this matter of husband dwelling with wife. And I said speech is one of the ways in which we're impacted. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them that dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's my responsibility to dwell with my wife according to knowledge, and to honor her. And if I honor her the way I ought to honor her, you know what? That'll build up our relationship. Or I can be destructive. Proverbs talks about a foolish woman, a clamorous woman, will tear down her own house. And we don't want to be like that. We want to be constructive, not destructive, within the home. And so, husband, give the wife the honor that's due. Wives, honor and respect your husband. I grew up in a home where there was a lot of fighting and a lot of bickering. And I don't like it myself. I don't like listening to it. I don't like being involved in it. And I heard it for years and years as I grew up. Is that how you communicate all the time? You got to change that. Got to make it different. You want to build up, not be destructive, not attacking each other, not dragging things up from 15 years ago and 10 years ago and 20 years ago and using it as ammo. Man, be careful. And if you are going to argue, don't argue before the kids. Move it outside. Just usually have a discussion between you and your spouse. Don't fight before the children. What about our attitude? Well, that's a lot of verses about speech. It's a very difficult thing. Our treatment of others, we're going to deal with that in just a second. Our attitude. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." You know what my attitude ought to be toward you? I ought to love you with a pure heart. You know what your attitude ought to be toward me? You ought to love me with a pure heart. And you know, if I love you and you love me with pure hearts, we'll build each other up. We'll encourage one another. Don't go home and have roast preacher for lunch. You know, you got a problem with me, you tell me. You don't go tell everybody in the church, do you? You shouldn't. You have an issue with me, tell me. If you have an issue with the church, tell the pastor. But I know I've been the course of many dinners. It's the way it is. But it ought not be that way. We ought not spend all of our time tearing up other people. Be very careful about that. Our attitude. We want to love one another with a pure heart fervently. I mentioned something about praying. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "I exhort therefore, and first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." For all men. So we need to pray one for another. I need to pray for you. You need to pray for me. And if you don't have a list, then you can develop lists. If not, as God brings people to your heart, you can pray one for another. That's a good thing. Pray one for another. And you know when you're praying for somebody, it's very hard to be critical of them. I've heard this many years ago about people being critical and harsh of their preacher, and they said, "Well, have you ever prayed for them?" And that's true. You know, I've found that people that are very harsh and critical and condemning don't spend time in praying for the individual. And so if you have a problem with somebody, could be your spouse, could be your child, could be your neighbor, could be a coworker, could be me. If you have a problem, you know what? Pray for that person. See if that doesn't change your attitude. See if that doesn't change your perspective to pray. And we ought to pray one for another. Do you know why? Because we want to build everybody up. That's what the Bible says. Build each other up. Edify another. Now, I've mentioned about the treatment of others. And I'm just going to give you a few verse references, and we'll be done in just a moment, about the external treatment. You know, in John chapter 15 and verse 12, Jesus told us that we are to love one another. And so he says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If I love you the way I should, I will be edifying you." If you love me the way you should, you will be edifying. Same is true for your spouse, children, and you can add the rest. But we can also show honor and respect. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." You know, one of the things in our society is a great show of disrespect. You see it when the kids are walking down the road, and they're walking down the middle of the road, and they taunt you to run over them. And I'll tell you, it's only by the grace of God that I haven't run over a few of them just on purpose. And the girl the other day, though, that she was just standing out in the road and almost hit her. Scared me to death. But I'll tell you, they taunt you, don't they? They're walking across the road, and they look back like, "I dare you. Sideswipe me." There's no respect. There's a great lack of respect of children toward parents. There's a lack of respect in the workplace, workers toward other co-workers and toward management. Little respect. Sometimes in churches, it ought not be, but sometimes in churches there's no respect. There should be respect. We ought to honor each other and respect each other. Treat each other with dignity. You know, both of those we talk about, loving one another and showing honor and respect, are encompassed in the great commandment. The first commandment is to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all of our mind. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39 says, in regard to that, in the second part, it says, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So treat your wife or your husband as you would want to be treated. Treat your children as you would want to be treated. Treat your co-worker as you would want to be treated. Fellow church members, as you would want to be treated. You don't want to be treated that way, do you? So why do you treat other people that way? And so we want to be loving and respectful. But we also need to be forgiving. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Boy, it kind of covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? Be put away from you with all malice. Put that stuff away from you. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgiving. We're not perfect. I'm not going to always treat my wife the way I ought to. I'm not always going to say the right thing. I'm not always going to do the right thing. And she needs to forgive me, and I need to forgive her. And my children need to forgive me, and I need to forgive them. Because we're not a perfect people. You're not always going to be perfect. I'm not always going to be perfect. I need to forgive you. You need to forgive me. That's building up. It's not the matter of carrying a grudge and keeping it with you and always bringing it up and always hounding it, wearing it into the ground, kicking them in the teeth while they're down. That's not where it's at. We need to learn to forgive. We need to learn to love, respect. That's building up. That's encouraging. And so we see from the text a great lesson for us. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Let me say this in closing. Things we might do to edify others. What are some things that we might do to edify others? I've already said it, but show respect. Express gratitude. Can you say thank you? Can you say I appreciate what you've done? Husband, it goes a long way if you tell your wife, you know what, I appreciate what you do. Thank you for that. Thank you for cooking. Thank you for cleaning. Thank you for working or whatever they're doing. Thank you for your contribution to this marriage. Wives, it's a good thing to say to your husbands. You guys out there working all day like a dog and killing themselves when the dog-eat-dog world comes in. Have you ever said thanks? Well, they know I appreciate it. They know that. Tell them. Thank you for going every day and working 10 hours, 12 hours a day to provide for us. Thank you for that. Express gratitude. Show respect. Express attitude. Gratitude. Lend a hand. Lend a hand. Can you help out? My wife's working part-time. You know what? I try to help out. When she works full-time, I would do more. But you know what? Help out. Lend a hand. Assist if you can. Be supportive, encouraging, helpful, not downgrading. And you know what? If we want to edify one another, we're going to have to be able to admit when we're wrong. It's tough, isn't it? But we have to admit, you know what? I was wrong. Yeah, I was harsh. And we need to admit that. And we need to go on. Admit when we're wrong. That helps build things up. We have to be flexible. Can't be so rigid. Can't be all about me and my way. Got to be flexible. And we got to be there. If I want to have a good home and I want to build up a home, I got to be there. If I'm never there, that doesn't build up a home very much. I know there are reasons sometimes for people not to be there. You have a person that goes over to fight in a war, you know. They're gone, and they have to serve for a year. Well, that's different. But you know, some people just aren't there. And even when they're there, they're not there. And that's a sad thing. That's destructive to the home. And so we want to be flexible, be there, want to give encouragement. Do you encourage your children? Do you encourage your spouse? Do you encourage your parents? Encourage one another. And then we need to desire their best and pray for them. Desire their best and pray for them. That's a way that we might be able to edify one another. Now, who might we edify? I've already said this a few times all the way through. I'm just going to listen to you and I'll be done. These things that I speak of today, you know, this is true for our spouse. True for our family. These things are true for our extended family. You got cousins and uncles and brothers and cousins and you name it. True for the extended family. It's true for fellow church members, isn't it? These things, don't they apply? It's true for our neighbors. Are you fighting with a neighbor all the time? Make for peace if you can. True for our co-workers. You know, these things are true even for complete strangers. see some people in the street, meet them in the store? Do you treat them like a wild person? Or do you show honor and respect and dignity to those people? Complete strangers. And you know what? And I finish with this. Even our enemies. These things are true for our enemies. And you say, no, wait a minute. I don't agree with that. Well, then you're going to have to argue with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So these things are true even to our enemies. We're told in the Scripture that we ought to edify another. So may we build up one another. May I be used to strengthen you. And may you be used to strengthen me and each other. That our church would be strong, build up, serving the Lord in this place. That's the Scripture admonition. And I pray that it's been a blessing to your heart and an encouragement to you. I'm not trying to kick you down. I want you to be built up. I want you to learn. I want you to grow. Be what God would have you to be. I appreciate your patience and I appreciate your attention. And I pray that God would speak to your heart and to mine, that we would do that very thing we see in the Scripture, to do those things that make for peace and to build up, to edify one another. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I know I didn't talk about the gospel today, but the gospel is Jesus Christ died for sins, was buried and risen again. He gives eternal life to all who believe. And you got to be at peace with God, and that peace only comes through Christ. And so if you're lost, we do point you to Jesus. But I've spoke to the Christian today. I spoke to those who make profession. And may we have that attitude. May we have the right kind of speech, the treatment, those things we discuss. May we pray one for another, that we might build up. May God bless you. Father, bless your word to our hearts as only you can. Thank you for your goodness and mercy toward us. And Father, give us the grace to extend that to others as well. May we be a kind, loving, encouraging people. May we build up one another in the faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?